I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And this is probably a familiar passage for many of us. We're going to look at Matthew 4, 1 through 11, about Christ being tempted in the wilderness. And we'll see what truths we can draw out from that this evening. Again, Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for being able to share your word this evening. I pray this will indeed be a time of instruction, encouragement, and uplifting as we look to your word and as we see how our Savior Jesus dealt with the onslaught of Satan and temptation. I thank you again for the time that we have together. Thank you for being with us in this time now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my message is called Standing Against Temptation. Not a flashy title there, but that's what it's all about, Standing Against Temptation. The temptation of Jesus gives us a glimpse into the spiritual battle that still goes on between the Lord and Satan. You know, the battle lines were drawn way back in Genesis 3:15 when the coming of the Messiah was first prophesied. The devil tried many times and in many ways to keep the Messiah from being born. Well, he didn't prevail. And thus, when Jesus was ready to begin his public ministry, Satan set his sights on defeating Jesus one-on-one. Well, he didn't prevail at that either, as we'll see. Back in the Garden of Eden, Satan was subtle and deceptive in his dealings with Eve. He was also that way with Jesus in the wilderness. The difference is that Jesus successfully met and resisted every temptation that the devil threw at him. Jesus didn't use his mighty power to counter the devil. He could have, but instead he set the example for us by using the resource which is available to all of us. And that resource is the Word of God. Jesus knows full well what it means to be human. As a man, he was susceptible to temptation. As the Son of God, he was sinless and he could not yield to temptation. When Jesus was baptized, he identified himself with sinful men, even though he did not need repentance himself. When he was tempted, he once again identified with sinful men, even though he could not yield to temptation like we do. As a result, Jesus is worthy of our trust. Now, as we get started here, I want us to take note of a couple of passages from the book of Hebrews, and you're welcome to turn there if you like, but otherwise just listen. I want to mention Hebrews 2, 17 through 18. First of all, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor," or comfort, "them that are tempted." And then there's Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I like that passage. That's a good passage. The temptations that Jesus faced were real. He was tempted because God wanted to prove to us that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. And that's because his testing proved that he was sinless and he could not have fallen into sin. If we're going to win over temptation, we would do well to glean some lessons from our Lord's experience with temptation here in Matthew chapter 4. So let's begin with Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4.
Chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hundred. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Verse 1 is really remarkable. Look at this, that Jesus was led into this situation where he was tempted. This was a specific time, a specific place, for a specific purpose. He was put in a position to be deliberately tempted or put to the test by the devil. Incidentally, this took place shortly after the Spirit had manifested himself in physical form as a dove that landed on Jesus when he was baptized. That glorious occasion was followed by testing and temptation. And there's a parallel for us here. You know, we often find ourselves going through hard times and being tempted soon after a spiritual victory. And therefore, we need to be on guard and not take our eyes off the Lord in such times. The wilderness that Jesus went to was more like a desert. It was in Judea, west of Jericho and the Dead Sea. Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in this desolate place. Luke conveys the idea that Jesus was tempted by the devil throughout those 40 days. Matthew 4, verse 2 says that Jesus fasted, he went without food, and he was hungry. You and I would have been at a weak point, and we would have been vulnerable to any chance to get food. Naturally, the first thing the devil did was to capitalize on how hungry Jesus was. He tempted the flesh. He wanted Jesus to yield to his own will and not to the will of God the Father. Matthew calls Satan the tempter, and that's what he is, of course. Every time he spoke to Jesus, he challenged him by using the word if. If Jesus was really the Son of God, surely he would do this or that. Notice that the devil never questioned the deity of Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. Nonetheless, he tried to subdue Jesus by appealing to those things which would have been weak points in a fallen human being. The devil knew Jesus was hungry, so he said, If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He knew Jesus had the power to do that. As we know later, Jesus would miraculously feed thousands by multiplying bread and fish. Our Lord refused the devil's taunt, though, and he did not change stones into bread. He quoted from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and told the devil that man does not live by bread alone. Instead, he lives, he has true life, from every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And Paul backs this up in Romans 14, verse 17, where he says, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Lord knows we need physical food for nourishment. Think of how he provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. You know, if we're to truly have life, we must feed on God's word. And by the way, the devil tells lies about what happened in these verses. Some of you will remember a song called We Are the World. That was from 1985, and I think I've mentioned this to you before somewhere along the way. But back then, several singers got together to put on a show of unity, and they did this song to raise money for a famine in Africa. And Willie Nelson sang the phrase, As God has shown us by turning stones to bread. Well, we know from the scriptures that Jesus did not turn stones to bread. If you and I want to keep from being misled by the devil's subtle lies, we must immerse ourselves in God's word. Don't look to music for your theology, by the way. So I want to go to the next few verses here, Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7.
Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Somehow Satan used great power over physical things, and he transported Jesus to a spire or to some other high place on the temple in Jerusalem. And I think it's remarkable that Jesus allowed this. Satan's challenge once again began with the word if. If Jesus was truly the Son of God, he should throw himself down because God would protect him. The drop would have been at least 200 feet, maybe as much as 450 feet, depending on where he stood. But the devil said angels would come to the rescue and keep Jesus from getting hurt. The devil tempted Christ's ego here. If he was the Son of God, God wouldn't let anything happen to him. However, it would not have been an act of faith for Jesus to throw himself off the temple. It would have been an act of defiance and foolishness. The devil quoted from Psalm 91, 11 and 12, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, the devil quoted most of that passage to make his point, but he left out a little phrase. Satan left out the last part of verse 11, which says, To keep thee in all thy ways. The devil's a master of quoting or misquoting scripture. His goal is to cause doubt and confusion. The devil is a deceiver. He knows the Bible well. And here's a challenge for you and me. Do we know the Bible as well as the devil does? You know? We need to be like the Bereans mentioned in Acts 17, verse 11, and we need to check out what God's word really says. We would each do well to take the advice that James gave in James 4, verses 7, and in the first part of verse 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We can draw near to God through the scriptures and the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. It's so important that we know the scriptures so we can apply them properly. We want to be sure not to take things out of context and misapply God's word. So let's consider the devil's assertion that angels would protect Jesus if he threw himself down from the temple. Angels are created beings who serve the Lord. In Hebrews 1, we learn that Christ is superior to the angels. God did not invite any of them to sit at his right hand, but Jesus is there right now. Consider a question raised in Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Well, I'm not trying to fully describe the ministry of angels here, but none of us should be irresponsible. We shouldn't take advantage of what angels can do. We shouldn't put their service to the test. You know, whatever they do for us isn't some kind of magic to use at our convenience. We would be unwise to take foolhardy dares, by the way. You know, if God asks us to do something that's bold, he will provide the faith and the wisdom as well as his enabling power. But we need to be sure that we are doing his will and not just something of our own making, of our own contrivance. And this fits in with the reply that Jesus gave to the devil. He quoted from Deuteronomy 6, 16, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And this exhortation in Deuteronomy was aimed at the Israelites you know, you might remember that they had put God to the test during their time of wanderings in the wilderness. A whole generation of Israelites died because they refused to trust the Lord. All right, let's look at the last of these temptations here, and we'll look at verses 8 through 11 here in Matthew 4.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
So this third temptation that Jesus had to confront was a battle for his very soul. The devil wanted his allegiance. Jesus allowed Satan to take him to a very high mountain peak where they could see the kingdoms of the world in all their glory. Now, we don't know where this was, and we don't know what they were able to view. Luke says that the devil showed him the kingdoms in a moment of time. So maybe they viewed the world's kingdom in some kind of a vision. The devil made the bold assertion that he would give Jesus all of those kingdoms and their glory if Jesus would only bow down and worship him. And I'll say more shortly about how it is that Satan could offer Jesus these kingdoms of the world. But for now, let's focus on his desire that Jesus would worship him. This is what Satan really wanted then, and he wants it now. He would love it if all people would worship him. Satan wants worship more than he wants the world's kingdoms. He uses his power within those kingdoms to get what he wants. The devil offered Jesus a shortcut. Jesus wouldn't have to go through the agony of the cross. He wouldn't have to follow the Father's well-thought-out plan for the salvation of many down through the centuries. He could have it all right then and there. Of course, that would have meant that the devil would be in charge. Jesus would be his slave, and he would only have what the devil saw fit to give him. Well, praise God that Jesus didn't yield. You know, praise God he could not yield to such temptation. Praise God, Jesus is God. Amen?
Amen?
If only we would realize that the devil tries to trick us by offering a shortcut to good and glorious things. If we give in, he'll be the master. Consider what Romans 6:16 says about who or what we serve. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So here in Matthew 4, the devil didn't quote scripture this last time when he made his bold challenge to Jesus. However, Jesus did quote scripture back to him. And before his quote, he told the devil basically to get lost. Jesus said, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he quoted from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Deuteronomy 6, 14 and 15 goes on to tell the Israelites not to serve other gods like the nations all around them, because God is a jealous God. Matthew 4, 11 tells us that Satan did as Jesus told him to do, and he left. At least he left for the time being. Luke says that he left Jesus for a season. Satan would test the Lord in other ways later. For example, you'll recall in Matthew chapter 16, Peter rebuked Jesus when he told the disciples that he was going to be killed and rise again on the third day. And that's when Jesus turned to Peter and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So back in Matthew 4, when the devil left Jesus, angels came and ministered to him. Now, we're not told the details, but no doubt our Lord was hungry and physically exhausted, and the angels may have brought relief. And whenever angels ministered to Jesus, they did so as part of God's plan. Now, I want to circle back around to an important point about Satan offering Jesus the kingdoms of this world. You'll notice that Jesus didn't challenge him. Since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God in his sovereignty has allowed the devil to have tremendous power. Paul called him the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4, and he called him the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2, verse 2. In John 12:31, Jesus himself called the devil the prince of this world. Well, we can take comfort in knowing that judgment has been pronounced on the devil and his sentence will be carried out when he's cast into the lake of fire, as described in Revelation 20:10. Finally, you and I must be careful not to put ourselves in a position that would make us vulnerable to the devil's schemes. Consider James 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We give in to temptation because we have a depraved human nature, and because we're ignorant of God's word. And at the risk of stating the obvious, we're not God, right? But we can look to God for the resources that he's made available to us. Namely, we have the word of God, the Bible. And we who are born again believers have the indwelling Holy Spirit himself. Amen. We are so blessed. You know, this is like having $1 billion in the bank and we're only taking out pocket change out of the account, you know. We don't have to stand defenseless against the devil. Remember Paul's words in Ephesians 6:10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, more and more we see that spiritual wickedness in high places, don't we? But think about the phrase, the armor of God. God is the one who provides that armor, and it's made just right for each of us. You know, it's not like the armor that Saul gave to David in 1 Samuel chapter 17 when David was getting ready to go to battle against Goliath. Saul's armor didn't fit David, and David hadn't had a chance to put it to the test. The armor of God has been fully put to the test, and it fits perfectly. So let's put it on. Let's do that by getting deeper into God's word and by learning to abide in Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how we can be strong in the power of his might. Well, would you stand as we close with prayer before our time of invitation? Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thank you for the wonderful example that we see of our Lord Jesus, who was thoroughly familiar with the Word. He was the Word, so he knew everything that he needed to say to the devil. May we get more and more into your Word and again be filled with your Spirit. Thank you again for this time that we've had to look into the Scriptures, and I ask your blessing now as we think on these things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.